Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I am Eric Garthy, and we are in class with David. Lessons on Developing Leaders. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2, the builder of a force. Let's read those verses. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. The anointed king is on the run as a fugitive. Boy. If that's not death of a vision, he was anointed to be the king to replace Saul, and now he's on the run as a fugitive. He ran into a cave in a place called Adullam, which literally means sealed off place in the Hebrew. Joshua chapter 12 and verse 15 lists Adullam among Israel's captured cities. The tribe of Judah settled there according to Joshua 15, verse 35. Families returned there after the exile in Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 30. Judah and Tamar's incest story is there in Genesis 38. Solomon made it a fortified city in 2 Chronicles 11, verse 7. These two verses introduce us to another facet of God's grace, that of successful ministry amidst suffering. The cave of Adullam was not a pretty place, but that's the beauty of it. It is a place of refuge. It's a place of refocus. First, the cave of Adullam is a place of refuge. Look at verses 3 and 4 of 1 Samuel 22. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me." So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. David was running from an enemy. King Saul himself was pursuing him. In fact, his whole family was with him. Notice verse 3, "Till I know what God will do for me." What a statement of faith by David that was. The promise of the kingdom was complete with a promise of protection to receive it. The cave of Adullam was that place of refuge while waiting on the Lord to fulfill his promise. But it wasn't an easy wait. It wasn't a pretty place. And it wasn't a pleasant place. Look at verse 2 again. Who was there with David? Everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. The future king of Israel became a shepherd of outcasts. How did David respond to the Lord in that cave? He complained about being forsaken. He proclaimed that there was no refuge available. And then he reclaimed the hope that is in God. You ask, how did you get all that from those two verses? Well, I didn't. You got to go look at Psalm 142 to see that complaining, to see that proclaiming, and to see that reclaiming. Let's look at that. Psalm 142. It has a subtitle of a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the cave, and that's referring to the cave of Adullam. Verse 1, "I cry out to the Lord with my voice to the Lord. I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look at my right hand and see, for there is no one to acknowledge, who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Hebrews 11 and verse 38 records about God's faithfulness. It says they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Micah wrote, the glory of Israel shall come to Adullam. Micah verse 1, verse 15. The king would have to flee and hide because of evil. Second, the cave of Adullam is a place not only of refuge, it's a place of refocus. Look at verse 2, the second part of it. He became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. David's army was made of social misfits. 400 men, distressed, in debt, and discontented. A bunch of bitter cast-offs of this world. Soon there were 600 of them. 1 Samuel 23, verse 13. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Did David pull it off? Did a shepherd from Bethlehem meet the challenge to assume command of a band of rebels? Well, absolutely. They came to him there. He became the leader of 400, and it grew to by 50% to 600. These misfits, these cast-offs, these are the very men who fought loyally by David's side and provided strong support when he became king of Israel. They were called the mighty men in the Bible. One event happened at the cave. You look at 2 Samuel chapter 23. Or 1 Samuel. Second Samuel 23. Verses 13 to 23, verses 13 to 17. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. And David said with longing, oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who were in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. And then if you look at verses 18 to 23, now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of another three. He lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Was he not the most honored of these three? Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, and the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day, and he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name among three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guard. The group of misfits in that cave with David makes an important point about God. He wasn't focused on running anymore. Instead, David was serving the Lord right there. Grace allows ministry among suffering. God will use weak vessels to display power, His power. As their captain, David received those in distress and made them useful to him as king of Israel. And the son of David, Jesus, also receives those distressed souls who will make him their captain, and he will make them useful servants to him as the King of Kings. That's grace. Is Jesus Christ the captain of your soul? You have a great day.